The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 8th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
If you've ever wondered what it would be like to walk in the footsteps of a saint, perhaps like St. Francis of Assisi, then here's an opportunity to find out something about it. On the first Saturday of each month from 9:30 to noon at the Corpus Christi Cathedral, 505 North Upper Broadway, Classroom 4, you can learn more about the spirituality of St. Francis and the Secular Franciscan Order. For more information, call Liz Conces, OFS, at 936-344-1353.
Bishop Michael Mulvey invites the faithful of the Diocese of Corpus Christi and visitors to the area to a weekly prayer, fasting, and adoration each Wednesday in Corpus Christi Cathedral. The Holy Eucharist is exposed in Holy Hour and adoration begins at 6 p.m. Because of social distancing, seating is somewhat limited. For those unable to attend, Holy Hour and Adoration is live streamed via Cathedral and KLUX Facebook sites, along with the diocesecc.org/faithservices, YouTube, just search Diocese of Corpus Christi. Bishop Mulvey personally leads Holy Hour and Adoration the second Wednesday of each month. Again, all are invited to participate in the Holy Hour and Adoration each Wednesday, 6 p.m. in Corpus Christi Cathedral. Video presentations are a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very well, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I hope the same for all of our listeners. So,
in the last Sunday before Lent.
Wow.
I know. As I mentioned in the beginning, our gospel this morning is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
So this is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 6th chapter, kind of a continuation of last Sunday, and verses 39 to 45. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden plank in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite! Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from branches. A good person out of the store of goodness in his heart produces good. But an evil person out of a store of evil produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, just like last week's gospel, this is another one that's so hard to understand, because it's easy to look outward, but it's very hard to look at ourselves.
Right. And you know, you saying that, I don't think we understand ourselves.
I know you're right.
I don't think many of us spend enough time trying to understand humanity, the human person. We are people who see the externals, but we forget there's an internal. There's a beautiful, and I didn't have time to put it down, but a meditation that says, we have an interior life and an exterior life, and one assists the other. So in other words, the interior life is the life of recollection, the life of openness to God's will, of prayer. It's the life of our baptism, that we belong to God. We don't spend time with that. We do not, and this is our fault, and I'll put myself in the category as well. And I realized that again this morning when I did spend a little time. And you know how much you miss on a couple of days a week just not being there to strengthen the interior life. We can go through the motions of prayers and those things, but to actually sit down and, as I would say, look at God square in the face, eye to eye, and say, I live because of you. That's the interior life. That interior then will direct the exterior, how I see people, how I see a situation, how I approach an event, how I speak to a person. If the interior is in chaos, which I would say, unfortunately, for most of us it is, day in and day out, we live in chaos, to take the time to know what love is, to meditate on forgiveness, the things that we actually talked about last weekend of turning the other cheek, doing good to those who do bad to us, to develop that, we live a whole different life. We live, for us, first of all, a productive life, but we also live a joyful life. So when we take that as kind of the heart of this gospel, which is at the very end, and I'll read that before I speak of it more, a good person out of the store of goodness in his heart, so that interior, exterior. If the interior is good, the exterior will be good, produces good. But an evil person out of the store of evil, which mounts up in a person, more anger, more revenge, more hate, will produce evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is in your heart, the condition of your heart will determine the condition of your life. We too often compartmentalize this. You know, we say there's no God, but God is at the center of your life. And if there is denial in your life, if there's denial in your being, if there's hatred, and so as Jesus says here, if you store up the evil inside, that's what everybody, you're going to get, and everybody else around you is going to get. And so we're being called again to more, to store up good, good through prayer, good through good works, good through forgiveness, all those things that are part and parcel. And so backing up then, you could say a good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. So again, it's that interior and exterior. Every tree is known by its fruit. And then going back further, when we talk about the splinter, and I would say this is really the work of denial. If I deny that there is a splinter, a plank in my eye, in other words, I deny the evil in me, I do not examine myself to say this is wrong, this is right, and I just move ahead with it, that all mounts up, and the splinter becomes a board, and the board becomes a plank, etc. And then I am blinded by that. So what is my external then? If this is my internal denial of everything, the external will be it's everybody else's fault. And how many times do we see that? It's your fault. I will not take responsibility for something. I will not take responsibility for my action. There's psychological stuff. That's narcissism.
Right.
And you become blinded by your own self.
And this is such a good visual. I mean, I know it's pretty, but it's for those of us that are visuals and even those that aren't visuals, you get the message on this one.
And I think the beauty of a gospel like this, you play with it in the sense. In other words, Jesus does takes it one way from three examples, from the blind leading the blind, the splinter and the plank, the rotten fruit and the good fruit, down to a lesson. What is the lesson? What you store up in your heart will be produced on your lips and in your actions, evil or good. So what I did is took the last sentence and then showed how that gives light to those three examples, what Jesus is trying to tell us in those examples, which we, you know, how many of us have quoted, don't take the splinter out of your brother's eye. Well, what we say that, and that's true, but let's go back. What does he mean by that? Mm-hmm. Don't store up these things in your heart. Mm-hmm. And that is the interior life of a person.
So it's like we look at our neighbors, and as you said this also, we look at our neighbors and we notice what they're doing not right and thinking, well, they're not doing it right. So, you know, that may be excuse my behavior to not do it right. Not only would we criticize them, but we would think that it's justifiably for us to not do the good thing.
Well, sometimes I wonder when we do that, what don't we recognize in ourselves? Or
are we just
how can we
along?
Recognize it if we don't know it?
True.
So how can you recognize the splinter if you don't know what the – if you don't acknowledge the splinter in yourself? So Jesus is – he's basically asking us to be transparent. He's asking us to be who we are, you know, not to go around as if we're something better than anyone else, someone better than anyone else. He's just asking us to be ourselves. And to help the other person grow in that, because once you take an attitude of opposition, in other words, I'm here and you're there and you're wrong and I'm right, which is a plague in our country, a plague in our lives, a plague in our church. This is what causes the division of people. I'm right, you're wrong, and we will not talk about it because I'm right. Why would I talk to you when you're wrong and I'm right? This happens in family, and I get a little huffy about this because I see it too often. This is such a judgmental stance. Objectively, yeah, there might be – they're incorrect, but who – this is why God is the merciful judge, not me. It's hard for me to be a merciful judge. Even in confession, I can't judge. I let God be the judge. I'm there to be an instrument and only an instrument of God's forgiveness, so that a person can come honestly and say that. But when we continually oppose a person, they will never talk. What is needed, and people hate this word, but I'm sorry, it's the truth. We need to dialogue. God sent his son, Jesus, while we were sinners. We were wrong in sin, anytime we're in sin. But God so loved us that he sent his son to do what? To dialogue with us.
Become one of us.
To become one of us so he could dialogue with us.
Right.
And how many people, if we look through the Gospels, did he dialogue with? He sat with the sinners. He stood before Pilate. He ate with the Samaritan, helped the Samaritan woman. He tells us these parables about the good Samaritan, about the prodigal son and the good father. This is all dialogue. And when we say we don't dialogue, that's wrong, because that's saying we're going to remain as we are in our two different camps, and that's the end of it. Then why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? And where is your heart? Anyone who stands in that kind of position, where is your heart?
So I think what we need to work on is how do we start those conversations?
Sure.
You know, soften our hearts and maybe we'll soften the hearts of the people that don't want to dialogue.
I would say take the gospel home with you today. Go back to St. Luke's Gospel 6:39-45. Read it and read it and read it. And don't read it as theory. Read it as God speaking to me, to you, to us. Because I have to read this too. I mean, I can put myself in this story too. Mm-hmm. Sure. On different levels, we have this. We have it on international level. We have it on a national level. We have it in our families. We have it in our parishes. We have it in the church. We have it in schools. We have, you know, everywhere. this is human behavior that Jesus is trying to correct. And the church, with as the proclaiming the gospel, is not to condemn people, but to say, open your hearts. We want a better world. We want a world of peace. And it certainly doesn't happen by pointing fingers. It happens by sitting down and talking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop.
Invite somebody over for a meal.
That's a great idea. Break bread together. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break. Please stay with us, and when we will be right back.
Falling in love is such a great experience, but like anything, what comes with it is responsibility. That's the subject discussed in the book Love and Responsibility by St. John Paul II. YCA, Young Catholic Adults, is proud to partner with OLCC, Our Lady of Corpus Christi, for a new series with Father Sam Medley called Catholic Romance, and is based on the late pontiff's book. Once a month through February of 2022, YCA and OLCC invite you to visit with them on the campus of Our Lady of Corpus Christi, 1200 Lantana, for a discussion of this most important topic. You'll also have the opportunity to learn different styles of dancing after each talk. For complete information, visit ycacctx.com.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. We have the Focolare reflects what we've been talking about, and it's the passage that we had last Sunday.
Well, they've always paralleled. I mean, yes. They're, you know, in tune with the liturgy of the church, and not just to say we're over here, or as they say, parallel churches. No, we're part. Mm-hmm. It's part of the church, and so always trying to pick up the theme that mm-hmm. is in the scripture reading. So this actually is very close to the Psalms, the last two Sundays mm-hmm. that we've been reading. A time of being merciful, but it's also preparing for Lent too, because Lent right. will be coming up. Ash Wednesday will be coming up this week. So the word of the scripture is from, again, Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, which we've read the last couple of Sundays. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. From what St. Luke tells us, after proclaiming the Beatitudes to his disciples, Jesus made this revolutionary call to every person as a brother or sister, even those considered enemies. Jesus fully knows and explains to us that we are all brothers and sisters because we have one Father. Continually seeking out his children, God wants to build a relationship with us. While holding us up to our responsibilities, God's love heals, nourishes, and takes care of us. It is a mother's attitude, compassionate and tender. This is the mercy of God that reaches out personally to every human being, with all their weaknesses. In fact, God prefers those who are marginalized, excluded, and rejected. Mercy is a love that fills the heart and flows out to others, to neighbors as well as strangers, to society around us. Since we are children of God, we can imitate his characteristics of love, acceptance, and knowing how to wait for the right time for others. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Unfortunately, in our personal and social lives, we breathe an atmosphere of growing hostility and competition, of mutual suspicion, categorical judgments, and fear of others. Grudges accumulate and lead to conflicts and wars. As Christians, we can go against the mainstream by giving a clear witness. We can take the step to be free from ourselves and from external circumstances and begin to rebuild the weakened or broken bonds of our family, in our workplace, in the parish community, or in our political party. If we have hurt someone, let's have the courage to ask forgiveness and start again. It is an act of great dignity. If someone has truly offended us, let's try to forgive them and make room for that person once more in our heart, so that the wound can heal. But what is forgiveness? The founder of the Focolare Chiari Lubic wrote in a commentary to Scripture in October of 1981, quote, "Forgiveness is not forgetfulness. It is not weak. It does not mean taking serious things lightly or considering as good what is in fact bad. It is not indifference. Forgiveness is a clear-sighted act of will, and thus a free act that welcomes the other as he or she is, despite the wrong done to us, just as God welcomes a sinner, despite our faults. Forgiveness means not reacting to the injuries received with more wrongdoing, but doing as St. Paul says, 'Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.'" That's from Romans chapter 12. Such open-heartedness cannot be improvised. It is a daily conquest, a constant growing in our identity as children of God. Above all, it is a gift from God that we can and must ask for. Be merciful just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. A young woman from the Philippines told us this story. Quote, "I was only 11 when my father was killed, but justice was not upheld because we were poor. When I grew up, I studied law because I wanted justice for my father's death. But God had another plan for me. A colleague invited me to meet people who were seriously committed to putting the gospel into practice. I started doing the same. One day, I asked Jesus to teach me how to live His word, 'Love your enemies.' In a real way, because I still felt hatred within me for the men who had killed my father. The next day, at work, I met the head of that criminal group. I greeted him with a smile and asked about his family. He was astonished at this, and I was even more surprised at what I had done. The hatred within me started breaking down and was transformed into love. However, that was only the first step. Love is creative. I thought that every member of that criminal group had to receive our forgiveness. My brother and I visited them to reestablish a relationship and bear witness that God loves them. One man asked our forgiveness for what had been done, as well as prayers for himself and his family."
You know, one of the things I really like about these Word of Life is that it explains what the scripture is that we're studying, and then how it can apply to us, and then they give us a beautiful example that we in turn can examine our lives and find out how we can do that same thing.
Or have had the similar experience.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely. I mean, that was a very powerful.
This one struck me.
It was very powerful to me also.
That many of us could be living in a similar situation, you know, with hatred growing, as we talked about in the gospel this earlier in the first portion of the program, but how that hatred can seethe and grow, mm-hmm. and the result is just a continuation of that.
Right.
So the power of love, which is forgiveness and mercy. I mean, I thought there was a beautiful part of that in the first part of the reading. If we have hurt someone, let's have the courage to ask forgiveness and start again. It is an act of great dignity. Mm-hmm. I think what this, whoever this young woman was, is the dignity of that. I mean, when you compare the dignity found in forgiveness, the dignity of reaching out, of loving someone, as opposed to remaining angry, hurt. Where do we see the dignity? In which example? And I think in that act of forgiveness really shows courage, which is human dignity.
I'm thinking of, also we talked about it before last week, I think, about the prisoners or anyone who's had crimes committed against their families, if they've ever forgiven the person who did those crimes, how powerful it has to be for them and their families and also the person that perpetrated the crime.
Well, oftentimes you find in the news somebody who's been violated or hurt in their family and just that they're not going to prosecute because they want to forgive. And I mean, those are cases when you just, your mouth is open. You know, the beauty of that gift through the hurt, through the pain of that, but yet that forgiveness is more powerful than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think recently in one of our programs that we don't know what it is to be human. We consider, I think it would be a good exercise even for myself to, what does it mean to be human? Does being a human being mean to be angry or to be loving? Does it mean to be revengeful or forgiving? You know, to compare, as I think it was last week, we talked about St. Paul saying that there is the first man and the second. You know, is it human or is it divine? Because our true humanity is divinized, we say, by Jesus Christ through his word. So picking that up and putting that into our lives, allowing God's power to enter into our lives through his word, putting it into practice, that is the true sign of our human dignity. And the only thing that can bring us joy, and as we're entering into Lent, I would ask all of us as we enter into Lent not to see Lent as a special time of year. I think we too often do that. We focus everything on 6 weeks. Brothers and sisters, every day is Lent. Sure. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. That's not just for 6 weeks. And living the gospel will always cause us to deny ourselves, but also then to act. And the result of that is Easter, which is joy. Mm-hmm. So that's what we call the Paschal mystery, to die and rise. That's a choice that we have. Do you want to die and remain in death, or do you want to die and rise? Mm-hmm. Die to yourself and rise mm-hmm. in God.
So we have a beautiful period of time where we can reflect on that. Bishop, if you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, we pray, that the course of our world may be directed by your peaceful rule, and that your church may rejoice untroubled in her devotion. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network. The preceding program was an encore presentation, edited for broadcast at this time.